Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. And I mean anybody. There's no one to be left out. As we say in the army, no man left behind. All you got to do is open up your heart and receive his love. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Remember, the Word tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Man doesn't heal anybody. God is the healer, but man can put the band-aid symptoms. So we must always trust in God and his word to heal us. And if we want to experience the light that God offered, the abundance light, we have to trust God. Jesus said in Matthew, have faith in God that we could say unto the mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in our heart, but believe these things which we say shall come to pass. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'm excited today. I'm excited because this is another golden opportunity for us to grow a little more in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual journey. It's an opportunity for us to get closer to God so he will get closer to us. This is so significant, people, because the reality of it is, with the world going at the way that it's going, at the rate of out of being out of control, we need to get as close to God as possible. And I'm talking of spiritual development. I'm not talking about your physical status, because that will be left here with the rest of the world. But we want to draw closer to God in a spiritual way, in the sense that our spirit lines up with his, our heart lines up with his, our mind lines up with his, that we can go forward and be truly his vessel, his change agent here on this earth, by walking by faith and not by sight, trusting that God's plan will begin to move in us every day of our lives till we return to him. But there's only one way to get there. One way to get there. We have to make sure that we go to God and we trust him and we let him know, God, I'm in your hands. I turn my life over to you. I'm willing to be your servant. Father God, I thank you that I'm confessing to the world that I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I receive him now into my heart. And when we do that, it is the beginning of the golden opportunity for you to truly experience the abundant life that Christ talked about. That is worth its weight in gold. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace and forgiveness of our sins every day that we live, past, present, and future. Father God, because we know that you throw our sins into the sea and remember them no more, Father God, we don't have to live in shame and guilt and hold our head down, but know we can come boldly to the throne of grace, thanking you, Father God. You provided the provisions that you said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in, confess with our mouth, Father God, that Jesus died upon the cross for us, Father God, you will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I thank you, Father. I thank you for that forgiveness. So we can now can come to you and we can relate to you as a son, as a daughter, as a child of yours. Holding our head up and saying, Father, what would you have me to do? This is what it's about. We are here to serve God's will and purpose, the assignment that he has for our life. And this is the time, Father God, I'm praying that every man, woman, and child that exists on this planet, Father God, will be willing like Christ to serve you and do your will. I know, Father God, physically, in the physical nature of things, Father God, well, I know that this can be a challenge. But, Father God, we just have to trust you. We just have to trust you and let the peace that you give to surpass all understanding guide us in those moments when we're doubtful or we're fearful. But you said when we trust in you, you will give us that perfect peace. I stand on that, Father God. Why? Because Jesus said it is written. And because it is written, you're not a man who should lie, Father God. Your word does not return void, but it accomplishes that which it goes out and is sent to do. I thank you, Father God. I pray for the lost, the sick, the shed, and the homeless. I pray, Father God, right now for anyone who's lost in spirit and in soul, Father God, because their mind and will is being distracted by the deceiver. But I know that his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. But I know yours, Father God, is that we may have life and have it more abundant in you. I claim that for over everyone today. Yes, Father God, you know their challenges, their issues. There are so many things that's going on in the world, Father God. Not one human being could quote it all, but you know it all. And because you know it all, Father God, I put it under the umbrella of your word, Father God, that covers us in the name of Jesus. The blood that was shed for the remission of our sin, the blood that gives the power of healing. Father God, I claim that over everyone right now. Father God, you have never left us or forsaken us. So therefore, Father God, our wants and desires, Father God, sometimes confuse us that what your word tells us that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And because of that, Father God, we know there's no lacking. So I claim this, Father God, with authority over everyone under the sound of my voice. But I pray it into the universe, Father God, into the, from the spiritual realm to the physical realm, Father God, it still would be so. Because I know, Father God, when we come to you, Father God, your word is the power, the way for us to be able to move in the direction you want us to go for the plan you have for our life. And I claim that dunamis power right now, Father God, that life-changing power right now. Thank you, Father God. And as I go forward as a vessel of yours, I thank you today, Father God, for this day you have made. I truly have been rejoicing and glad in it because you've given me another opportunity to be used as your vessel. When they say, who to send you, I say, Father God, like Isaiah, send me, Father God, send me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I thank you, Father God, that I will decrease and the Holy Spirit will increase to give me the ability of deliverance right now in the name of Jesus to share your good news, because truly it is good news. It is what, Father God, will strengthen us, guide us, protect us, preserve us to be all you need us to be and more. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I tell you the truth. This truly is the day that we should be glad in, because it's right now that we have. It's right now that we have. We have to thank God every moment that he gives us. Every day he gives us his breath and strength. We should be thanking him. Yes, there are challenges in the world. There's obstacles in the world. There's storms that may come. There may waves that may knock us around. But we have to stand strong. As me and my son always say, I started, he finished it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do this, not in our might, but through the might of Christ. So we should stand strong in him. Hallelujah. Today's quote is, you are not here merely to make a living. You are here in order to enable the world to live more amply, with great vision, with a finer spirit of hope and achievement. You are here to enrich the world. You are impoverish yourself if you forget this errand. Woodrow Wilson. Good leaders lead the people from above them, and great leaders lead the people from within them. M.D. Arnold. The greatest leaders are not necessarily the ones who does the great things. He is the one that gets the people to do the greatest things. We know that through Jesus Christ, but that was Ronald Reagan. To add value to others, one must first value others. See, Jesus valued us. He valued us so much that even when he did not want to take on that cup, he went forward because of God's will to save us. To save us. The task of leadership is to get their people from where they are to where they have not been. As they say in Rob Barrymore's show, Star Trek will say, to go where no man's gone before. But that was Henry Kissinger. Now, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leader and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leader who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and their faith. Imitate their faith. All we need, the faith the size of a mustard seed. Challenges come, as I said, but we can move mountains with this faith. Imitate the faith of the people that are going before us who had the challenges and they overcome. They overcome. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear. Do not fear. We're speaking terror fear here. There's a respect of fear. It's foolish to go and put your hand on a hot stove. Your name not Superman, so therefore you're going to burn. So we don't want to do that. We're supposed to have this reverent fear for our God, not a terror fear. But this fear is talking about a terror fear. Because when we know that God is with us and we respect him, we don't have to be dismayed, for he is our God. He's the one that will strengthen us and help us. He will uphold us. He will preserve us. He will keep us. He will protect us. Why? I know, because that's what love always do. That's what love always do. Philippians 2:3. Do not out of selfishness, ambition, or vain conceit do these things. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Now, that's a hard task to do for some people, because they value themselves so much that it moves away from self-preservation to conceit, to arrogance, and even worse, narcissism. So we have to be careful to walk in that humility that Christ walked in. And then Philippians 2:4 says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I was telling someone this morning that I live my life. If I'm in the space of you, it's all about you. I don't care who I'm with. And I can honestly say this was a part of who I was even as a child. If I'm with my friends, it's about what they want to do. Now, I like that they would want to do what I want. But I always thought that for myself, that if I wanted to do something, I'd just do it by myself. Even if I didn't have nobody to play with, like playing chess, I can play chess by myself. I can play ball by myself. I can shoot pool by myself. I can go to movies by myself. But when I'm with someone else, it's their interest. It's their focus that I put my attention to. Now, sometimes that's a disadvantage. It's okay, because I know that when I come in, I come with a giving spirit. That's what it's about. But let me share a story, a few stories on leadership. You see, leadership is one of the most spoken about topics, so much that there are 40,000 books on the subject and growing. Leaders inspire us, they propel us, and we are led by leaders. What makes a leader move into their calling, especially when they are at risk, there are risks that are involved? The odds are all against them, yet something drives them to a higher cause that touches them to focus on a deeper level of compassion towards their fellow man, thinking about others, you see, that keeps them convicted to the act for the greater good. See, Jesus was convicted to ensure that he would go forward for the greater good. Now, when you wake up in the morning, do you wake up thinking it's for others or it's for you? Now, you should take care of yourself. That's called self-preservation. And I've talked the whole thing about self. But self-preservation is appropriate. I've never seen a battery give a jump that didn't have its own charge. So it's significant that you stay charged up. But once you charge up, you need to be able to let that energy flow, just like in a car, to support all the other integrated parts to keep it moving. These are the integrated parts that I'm talking about as your fellow man. Hallelujah. See, where they would be willing to give up their time, their peace, and all that is vital to them to adhere to the calling. I want to take a moment to look at these leaders from the working class hero to the social elite to see what impact they had on the world. And we have a lot of people. I got a whole slew of people I can talk about who have shown leadership at its best, as well as those who have shown leadership at its worst. One of my favorite shows, if I do pause for the cause to watch TV, is American Greed. Because it allows me, when I watch shows, and this is just the way I've been since I was a kid, I've been analytical for a long time. So when I watch shows, I'm trying to figure out, what is the message? What are they trying to tell me? I like entertainment, but I like being able to break it down to the smallest common denominator so I can get the real meaning out of it. That's why the word, when the word says all things get understanding, I grasp that real quick, because that's what I was always looking for, to understand it. Then I can decipher what is right or wrong. Hallelujah. But let's look at one great leader who was inspirational in most people's lives, and that's Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was the most prominent leader in America during the Civil Rights Movement of the 50s and 60s to his assassination in 1968. He modeled his strategy after civil disobedience and nonviolence of the successor of Mahatma Gandhi and received the Nobel Prize on October 14, 1964. He made a speech on the March of Washington for Jobs and Freedom that continued to inspire people today. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. As I was working with my boys yesterday in our boys program, Emmy Encouraged Me, I'm Young, Emmy Future Leaders, that's what we was talking about, character, because we had a great speaker come from Chase Bank to teach about when you just trying to get along. And one of the things they look at, because she was doing it back in the earlier years, when you walked in, she could sign off a loan for you based on your character. Based on your character. So a character, having the right characteristic traits is so important, or attributes, if you will, because this can determine whether or not people value you in the sense of trust. So Martin here is telling us that one shouldn't be necessarily, judged by the external things that you look in at, but the internal factors that exist in the individual that determines how they display themselves on the outwardly basis. Hallelujah. Then another leader that maybe don't entertain much was Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt was a politician, first lady, diplomat, journalist, and an activist. She served as a United States delegate in the UN for 7 years, was head of the UN Human Rights Commission, and helped write the 1948 Union Declaration of Human Rights. Human rights. Every man should be treated equally. Every man should be valued as you value yourself. She fought for this. She redefined the role of the first lady and led by example. Led by example, her character was represented in a way that she would be a model for women and more so for the first lady of the United States, our country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She advocated for civil rights for African Americans and Asian Americans, the rights of the world refugees, and for the greater role for women in the workplace and society. Here she went into to address the populations who were not being treated as equal. See, this is still real today, people. This is still real today. Equality is not so equal here. But she was fighting back then. And during that period of time, women were pushed in the back. But as I look today, because of women like her who stood up, who fought, and went there with courage and boldness, women now are rising. As Maya Angelou, then again I rise. Women are rising up. They're stepping into roles of leadership in all capacities. They're being heard. Their voice is being heard. They're not the soft-spoken one now. They're being able to speak their mind, speak from their heart, and let the world know that they have value. But this is a woman who is a leader and stepped up to the plate for this. Before her death, Eleanor Roosevelt was described as one of the most esteemed women in the world, and her work and legacy still forms the cornerstone of our society today. Not only did she have a certain level of character that stood out, it carried on her legacy. See, we must also recognize as leaders, what is our legacy? I remember reading that Colin Powell said he had one blot on his record, if you will, was when he said there was weapons of mass destruction. But again, the intel was wrong. But even as a leader, he stepped up to take full responsibility of what had went wrong, because that's what a leader do. The leader is accountable and responsible for the people that he's leading. And if something go wrong, it's on the leaders. Now, you can bring all the other aspects into play, but for the most part, a leader will take full responsibility. But let's look at another leader who through a stance, rose apart. On the 1st of December, 1955, in segregated Alabama, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat color section of the bus to the white passengers when ordered to do so by the driver. Remember back at Eleanor trying to fight for equality. She could not even get equality, not just as a woman, but also for the color of her skin. And her non-action had her arrested. She lost her job and received death threats for many years. Can you imagine this? Because you didn't want to move on the bus, they want to kill you? Mind blown. But look at that courage. Look at that courage. Look at that courage. That's what leaders do. They execute courage. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's stepping into the fear to let the fear know that I'm not afraid of you. I'm going forward anyway. My body may say no, but my spirit say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. However, her action became a powerful symbol of the modern civil rights movement, and Rosie became an international icon. Not because she strived to be an icon, not because she wanted to be known, not because she needed recognition, but because she was willing to step up to the plate. She went on to organize and collaborate with the civil rights leader, wrote an autobiography, and was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal. The United States Congress called her the First Lady of Human Rights. Hallelujah. Look at these women. Look at what they're doing. So women, it should never be that you can't step up to the plate. You should never see yourself as a second-class citizen. You should always see yourself as a what God designed, a child of God. And in God's house, there is no second-class citizen because we're first-class children of his. Hallelujah. You see, the moral is that we can see that there are leaders who made and not necessarily born. There are leaders who have innate qualities to lead, but there are more who will be placed in the leadership when the time comes. You see, the scripture tells us in Esther 4:13-14, do not think a moment that because you are placed, that you are in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at this time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will rise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just the time as this. Remember that scripture. Remember that scripture. We are all called to lead at some point during our journey. Whether we seek it or not, God has a plan for all our lives to step up to the plate. But we must be willing to answer the call. Because there will be a time that as students and followers, we will have to step up to be like Esther did and be a leader. And be a leader. Hallelujah. And that moves us to our show. The student or the disciple who humbly becomes the follower that manifests into God's leader. Hallelujah. Be a leader. Last week, we've capped and addressed the importance of recognizing that we should always strive to be a student, a disciple in life. Open to learn as much as possible in every area that is relevant to our human existence, which I always like to say is spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and relational as followers of Christ. Understanding, as Proverbs 3:5-6 points out when it tells us, trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to thy own understanding. In all our ways we should acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. He will direct our path. He will direct our path. Hallelujah. Follow God's yellow brick road. What we should, we see, what we should look at is the fact, key fact that God continues to show us which way to go. As students, we should be open to follow our teacher, our shepherd, our leader, in order that when such is a time like this is relevant in our lives, we are ready for the higher calling or leadership in Christ Jesus. We are ready. As the Temptations say, as they celebrate their 60th year in the industry, get ready, because it's going to be coming. It's going to be coming. We got to get ready. Then we spoke about being a follower, which is in my many circles, being a follower is not being praised or praiseworthy. Being a follower sometimes throws people off because people don't get recognition to that position, that role. How we should, again, as I said, we should remember the importance of being a follower because God wants us to follow him. It may not be easy, but it's doable. I know it's not easy to follow sometimes because so many factors will present itself that will prevent us from wanting to follow another. Yet if we are truly striving to spiritual maturity, we must develop a trusting attitude in God in order that we will provide, that he will provide the leaders we need to follow for our growth. There's rare that a child is going to come out the womb and take off running. See, even Jesus, when he came out, he had to stay with Joseph and Mary till it was time. So we need to know who we're going to follow. See, we saw this firsthand with Jesus. As God provided Christ for the disciples, they were willing to follow him. The scripture tells us, and Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24-26, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Noting that students and followers must be willing to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus. Sometimes this is hard because we may have spent a lifetime developing ourselves because of who we thought we should be and want to be. Why? Because we have free will. Yet we all understand, have learned that sometimes what we classify as free is not always best for you and me. Yet as God saw fit for us to be free agents and have a free will in this life to exercise this, we have to be willing to please him and follow him and execute what he provides for us in order to adhere to the calling of the Lord. But for a moment, let's look at a man who developed himself to become successful and by all outward appearance, seemingly a Christian man as well, as a leader who executed his free will. But at what cost? This is the rich man who refused to follow Jesus. A man came to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to enter to have eternal life? Jesus answered, why do you ask me about what is good? Only God is good. But if you want to have eternal life, obey the law's commands. The man asked, which one? Jesus answered, you must not murder anyone. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not tell lies about others. You must respect your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Again, thinking someone else. That's another problem in itself, and probably for another show. How to love thyself. Hard to give something that you don't have in yourself. I tell my soldiers all the time about their father, which I mentioned in the past. Your father could not give you what he didn't have. So if he didn't have love in his heart, very difficult. You're going to get that. Very difficult. The young men say, I have obeyed all these commands. What else do I need to do? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, then go and sell all you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven, then come follow me. They're going to follow me again. We don't give a lot of credence to following, but here it is, follow me. But when the young man heard Jesus tell him to give up his money, he was sad. He didn't want to do this because he was rich, so he left. My man booked. Then Jesus said to his father, the truth is, it will be very hard for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. And I've never really wanted to be rich for the sake of being rich. All the toys that a boy would want to have, boy toys as they call them, I've had them in some form or fashion. But I knew what it took to get that. They were things, and all I had to do was do the thing, and I could get the things I wanted. So I go to work. I didn't work one job. I worked three jobs. This old joke, I live in color. You say, man, you must be Jamaican, man. You have so many jobs. Oh, yeah, I had the jobs because I wanted the things. But I didn't ever want to be rich just to be rich. I always had the vision. I wanted to build something bigger than myself. I always had the vision to have a whole slew of nursing homes. When I was a kid, I worked at one. And I saw the atrocities of what the clients were experiencing. Then I wanted to have this big one-shop. Where the homeless could come in, and in 90 days we could transform them. I knew very little about God at that time. I just knew of God. But I had this in my heart, and it still hasn't left. But this is the part why we have to take that pause for the call. And if I recall in a session or a message from Pastor Teresa, we have to take that pause for the call to go to that closet, isolate, and speak with God, close the door. So we can hear from him. And that way the cares of the world don't choke out the vision or the message of the word that he gives us when we're not even really sure about what to do next. But when he gives it to us, we will be more prone to move in that direction. But if we don't listen, as my key word with my boy, the key word is listen, we miss it. So these dreams and ambitions got away from me in my more youthful days. I still believe, like I talk about in another session, that as Colonel Sanders succeeded at 65 to develop the biggest chain of chicken joints, if you will, around, I still believe God can use you. He used Moses. He used Abraham. I still believe. But we got to be careful because we can get distracted. We can get distracted. But Jesus tells them, yet he tells them, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into God's kingdom. The followers were amazed to hear this. They asked, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, this is something that people cannot do, but God can do anything. See, our Heavenly Father can do anything. But then Peter said to him, we left everything we had and follow you. So what will we have? Jesus said to them, when thy of thy new world come, the Son of Man will sit on his great and glorious throne. And I can promise that you will follow me and will sit on the 12 thrones, and you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who has left house, brother, sister, father, mother, children, or farm to follow me will get much more than they left. We will get much more than we left, and they will have eternal life. You can't ask for nothing better than that. If you don't get nothing back, eternal life is what's happening, because, again, if you live to be 100 years old, that's a drop in the bucket to eternity. But many people who are first now will be last in the future, and many who are last now will be first in the future. Excuse me. So let's take a pause for a minute to talk about the rewards of the follower once he adheres to the calling of the teacher. Jesus said to the young men, "Let it all go and follow me." Many people think because they are not displaying behaviors that constitute they look sinless, that they will enter to the pearly gates of heaven on their works and the illusion of being Christ-like. Yet we saw through this young man's accomplishment, seemingly sinless action, that wasn't the case. Let's look further. When Jesus said, you basically got it all together to the young man, I got one more thing for you to do. You must get to this point with me. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have riches. Then again, come follow me. Wham, right in that young man's face. The young man was almost there, but Jesus hit him with the curveball, saying, what you value the most, get rid of it, sell it. Help someone else, and then follow me. Help someone else. Think of someone else. However, the young man had grown attached to his wealth and all the tremors that come with it. He just couldn't let it go. Even when Jesus told him, you will have riches in heaven. So here we are now. Jesus is telling him, young man, you've been doing good. You got it going on. But all practical purposes, man, you look like you sinless. But all you got is to let this go. See, sometimes we get attached so emotionally to the things of the world that the cares of the world makes us miss the true meaning of abundance. See, this is small potatoes. And the more I live and the more I see some of my buddies, I was telling someone the other day, many of my friends are gone. I only got a handful of them, and I had a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch. I mean, that's not proper English, but it is what it is. A whole bunch of them. Now they're gone. But here's the kickback. Everything they had, and the man said, how much did Frank Sinatra leave? And they said he left it all. They left it all, and somebody became the recipient of what they thought was value. Now the question is, now the big reward of eternal life, do they have that? But it didn't stop there. Now those who had just gave it all up and followed Jesus was perplexed. They were perplexed by Jesus' response because I'm sure they were talking to themselves and upholding, and thinking of themselves that, hey, we did all the right thing. But see, wait a minute, Jesus put a trick on them. Now check this out, our boy Peter. Now Peter, being Peter, had to put his two cents into the conversation by pointing out this fact. We left everything and we had to follow you. I want to point out something that Peter did, and what Peter did was showing his true heart motive. And we know that God looks at the heart. Peter, like many people, wasn't different from that young man. By making his statement about what he and his peers did and what he felt he should be receiving, he put himself in a different position. He showed his heart motive because he jumped up and said, hey, we left it all. So the question is to all of us, what is our heart motive? What is the point here? Well, I'm looking a little deeper into being a follower. We must see and put into question, why are we following Christ? Are we looking to get something? Do we feel God owes us something because we give up our worldly possessions and lifestyle, which is basically all God's anyway? What was the follower of Christ's real motive? Like at the Last Supper, the 12 disciples disputed among themselves over the matter of individual superiority, or possibly where they would take their place at the table. Again, to ask Jesus, what will they have? You see, as a student and disciple, we are to remember to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Remember Jesus said, follow. This is why a student, as we study, we would be more prepared to follow because we know who the right leader is, the right heart motive, and then we don't get caught up in this emotional attachment to things. See, my favorite quote that I use is, you must be willing to lose, you must be willing to take a loss to make a gain. Jesus validated my view here because he told both the young man and the disciples what were they willing to lose here and that they would gain more by being his followers, not just in this life, but the life to come. Hallelujah. As students, when we do what the Word tells us, basically out of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We can stand strong in Christ because we are assured and confident that the leader who we follow we can trust because he is the way, the truth, and the life. This walk that we take on is all through Jesus Christ. Before I pause for the calls, I'm going to try to address the next part of my three entities we must look at. And that's the development as a leader. Now, I want to go back to that Esther statement because her story emphasized my point about being a student, a follower, that is, such a time as this, or the day you must step up to be a leader, you spiritually are prepared. Your flesh may cry out different, but your spirit is ready to be sent. Well, when the Lord said, who shall I send? You can stand bold and say, send me. You see, out of Isaiah 6:8, then I heard a voice of the Lord that said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Are you ready for that calling? Are you prepared for that calling? As Les Brown would always say, it's better prepared, be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than have an opportunity and not be prepared. Are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're not, like the temptation say, get ready. Get ready. You see, my friend, the use of here I am, Lord, reveals purpose. Isaiah was saying here, was saying he was here on earth for a specific purpose, and he wanted that purpose to be the Lord's. And he immediately followed it with saying, send me. He didn't wait to hear the Lord would say, but he wrote a blank check to the Lord, a universal yes to God, plan for him to follow God's plan. Now, this is what it's all about, training as you fight and fight as you train. We as students to learn what God wants us to know through his word. We are followers to get ready for the assignment and the purpose he has for us so that we can do the good thing he planned for us a long time ago, Ephesians 2:10. In order that we can become the leaders that he's been preparing for us to become for such a time as this. But let us, let us look briefly again at Esther's story. Excuse me. Now, Mordecai, a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin, lived in Babylon under the rule of King Xerxes. Mordecai had a beautiful cousin named Esther who he raised on his own. And when King commanded to remove Queen Vashti from the throne after a series of shocking events, Esther ended up in the palace as the new member of the king's harem. Now, Vashti's replacement would be crowned from this group of the loveliest virgins in the land, to found favor with Haggai, the head of the eunuchs, in charge of the harem. So she gained an affection of the king himself, the affection of the king himself. It even confirms this in Esther 2:17. And the king loved Esther more than any other of the other young women. Hallelujah. Around this time, the king was most trusted advisor named Haman set a plot in motion to kill the Jews. Haman despised Mordecai, so he convinced the king of his plan, and the decree was written. The Jews only hope whether or not a young queen would be willing to risk her life to save them. Again, other people above herself. What would she be willing to do? As a leader, you got to be willing to step up to the plate. Remember, train as you fight, fight as you train, because the day of reckoning is going to come. It's coming. It's coming. Mordecai knew what he had to do, but he also knew Esther better than anyone. Not only did he need to convince Esther of the severity of the situation, he needed to motivate her to push her past her fears and to do what God called her to do. See, God got a plan for her life. I know the plan I have for your life, plan for you to prosper, not for harm, a hope and a future. There was going to be a future here coming up for Esther. Hallelujah. And the Jewish people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No one else could get close enough to stand before the king and plead on their behalf. Only Esther. Only. There will come a time where it will be only you can be the difference that makes the difference. Esther's initial response to Mordecai should remind us of another servant and leader of God we admire for bravery and perseverance through unspeakable difficulty. His name is Moses. If we look back at Moses' first conversation with God, it shows us Moses and also needing some extra motivation as well. The scripture tells us in Exodus 3:4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Here we go. Here I am. Send me. Who shall I send? Here I am. Are you ready for that call? And if you're not, get ready. Get ready. Although Moses believed God spoke to him through the burning bush, he did not believe in his own ability to do what God asked him. I understand that. Because in my might, sometimes I get a little nervous. Sometimes I might shake like Don Knox. You may not see it, but inside I come concerned. Because sometimes the world will distract you and make you look at other people's talents and abilities. I can play basketball. Well, I can't play like Michael Jordan. But if I do what Michael Jordan did, I practice hard enough. I stay in the game long enough. I might can get there. I know Michael can be beat because the young man who was only 5'6" named Spud Webb beat him in the dunking contest. But see, we can get caught up in our hype. My own brother did that. The great ball player. But he looked at the outside factors. He didn't look into the internal ability that God had put in him early on to let him know he had skills and talents. And if he trusted in the Lord at that time, God could have used him to be another Spud Webb. But he looked at the external factors, and that's what we have to be careful to do. See, God had called Moses to lead his people from a life of oppression, but Moses made excuses for why he couldn't. Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. This is out of Exodus 10:10. But like Moses, Esther needed someone to encourage her on this journey, not because she lacked courage, but maybe just needed to be reassured that God would go before her. And the scripture tells us he does, because in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Sometimes, like Esther and Moses, we may have to face our fears and doubt due to our lack of confidence in our own earthly flesh ability. But the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Confidence. I'm going to make confidence faith. And faith, all you need is the size of a mustard seed. When we get that concept in our head, we can be dynamite in the might of Christ. Because we realize now, it ain't got to be me doing it. It ain't got to be me doing it. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, when facing the position of leadership, all that we study for, all the leaders that we follow to learn and develop is now coming to fruition for such as a time as this. Now things are being presented, and we must step up to the front line as soldiers of the Lord and be ready for the task or the battle that we will face one day. Trusting that God in faith, that God is faithful and he will be with us. He will continue to guide us and protect us. Yes, he will guide us and protect us for such as a time as this. God will show his providence. Whether we hesitate or move forward, God's strength. In his strength, his work will come together to fulfill his purpose. Trusting in God and his purpose for our life. It will all come together. The scripture tells us all things come together for the good for those who love the Lord. But let me point out something about leadership from an observation standpoint with Esther. You see, even though Esther was now in a royal position, experienced seemingly the dreamy life on the surface. See, sometimes we see leaders, but we got to know their story. You know, I always say we are a walking book, and when we meet most people, we're in the middle of their book. So we got to know what came before so we know what's going on now so we can see how it's going to go in the future. But you see, Esther's life was not all this prince-like. Esther faced great hardships before, during her time in the palace. Having suffered the tragedy of the loss of both her parents, Esther had a special relationship with her adopted father, Mordecai, and an orphan and exile. She certainly didn't have it easy. Oh, when you go to hear the stories of the great successes of people and you look back on their life, they'll tell you their story, that it wasn't easy. Some been abused, some been neglected, some been molested, some been put down, some been belittled, some been in homeless, some been hungry, some been without clothes, some without reason. The story goes on of what they didn't have, but they press on. They represent what the word means when we talk about resiliency. They had the bounce back power, the bounce back power. Then instead of being allowed to live out her life among her people, she was whisked away from her for all she knew. Laws forbidden members of the king's harem to speak to anyone. They couldn't even visit the king without being called. See, Matthew Henry commentary describes it this way. They made the royal palace a little better than the royal prison. The illusion oh, she got it going on. And sometimes we see other people who look like they're successful, but we don't know what's going on in their house. They look good, but yeah, they got more money. But if they got more money, they got more bills. And if they got more bills, it costs more than your bills. So when they fall hard. So sometimes we got to be careful on the illusions that we see. Hallelujah. So now Esther couldn't even communicate with her beloved Mordecai. She had to send messages back and forth. 4 years passed between the Queen Vashti's removal from the throne and Esther appointed as the new queen. This orphan girl lived a life of seclusion. So she didn't have it going on for seclusion, but she was about to understand that everything she went through for such a time as this. You see, Esther knew the punishment for anyone who entered the king's presence without being summoned. She'd be sentenced to death unless the king chose to hold his scepter and offer a pardon. With odds stacked against her, Esther knew what she had to do. She called on her people to pray and fast. You see, you got to know where your help come from. Esther understood that the weapons of a warfare were not carnal, but mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. See, the scripture also tells us in Esther 4:16, go and gather together all the Jews and the Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or night. My maids and I will do the same. So you can't tell other people to go do something you ain't going to do yourself. People say, pray for me. Are you going to pray for yourself? So she understood the importance of the power of prayer and fasting to cleanse herself and get prepared for the battle she was about to face. Train as you fight. Fight as you train. And then through it, against the law, I will go in and see the king. If I must die, I must die. My favorite line is, what are you willing to die for? See, just like this thing with the vaccine, I ain't mad at nobody, but like this thing with the vaccine, you know what the real deal is? You don't want to die. I get it. Nobody want to die. Jesus don't want to die. But that's what you're talking about. People lay in the hospital all day long from everything else. People go in the hospital for multiple things, and they can be in the hospital and they be ill. But at the end of the day, we're trying to prevent death. So I don't want to die this way. Nobody know the day or the hour. Nobody know how God say you go check out. See, we have to walk in faith that God will give us a long life as we get to know his salvation so we can declare the works of the Lord. That's what should be our focus. You see, most leaders know the sacrifice they must make. Jesus showed us that he was willing to die, even if his flesh didn't want to. And all his disciples were willing to die, even if their flesh didn't want to. However, Esther knew that prayer and fasting would make it clear that she would draw closer to her Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. However, the king saw Esther, and then the scripture tells us when he saw Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her and held out his gold scepter to her. Then the king asked her, what do you want? What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I will give you even if it's half the kingdom. That's bad. That's like Joseph now becoming the second man in command. That's bad, man. Esther 5:23. And even with the odds stacked up against us, God's plan will always prevail. When we wonder why he led us to where we are, prayer and fasting can usher us a new hope. In the midst of dangerous situations, this hope propels Esther forward, and it can do the same for us. You see, Esther followed God's direction back to following. And even though she was in leadership, then the key word is follow. Even when you are in a position of leading, Esther patiently waited for the right moment. God opened the king's heart. God can move people. He can soften their heart for her plight, which resulted in his favor bestowed upon Esther, Mordecai, and the Jewish people. Whatever our situation, we can wake up each day knowing that for such a time as this, right now, this moment, God has prepared us for it. We can trust that the King of Kings has guided us as he says, yet if we say yes in obedience, when we do, we will discover that even in the midst of headaches, hardship, everything in between, God has a plan that is for us to prosper, not for harm, and to give us a hope and a future. A hope and a future. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what you're going through. Because most of the time, most of us are going to be a reflection like in a mirror. We're going through something similar. And truth be told, my friends and family, pain is pain. You, when I eat, you don't get fat. So no matter what your pain may be, I can't experience it, and you can't experience the mine. But we do know one who can take away the pain. If we trust in him, he can take away the pain and the harm that he would push away from us. But we have to trust him. Oh, we're going to have our Job stories. We're going to have our trials and tribulations. We're going to adhere sometime to the ways when Jesus said, come on and walk on the water. And those people we see that look like they got it on, they got their own stories. But again, it comes back to trusting God. So as we go forward as students, learning and getting prepared to follow so that we may be ready for such a time as this to be that leader, we need to trust God. So next week, we're going to pull all this together through the Holy Spirit to help us better understand how to be a better student, a disciple, a follower, and how to get ready for our leadership. And then always, I like my soldier's perspective. Leaders are not always born, but they can always be developed. We saw that God developed Esther and Moses for the appointed time. They might not have thought they were the best people for the job, but when God's plan is in motion and we are willing, obedient students who are ready to follow, God will give us all we need to be victorious in any given situation or condition in our lives. All we have to do is trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Why do I know this? Because Ephesians 2:10 say, for we are God's masterpiece. We got value, major value. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. Now, you can't get none of this good stuff here that God is talking about in his fullness unless you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This is what it's all about. As you hear every message alone that will come from all the mighty dynamic of presenters, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, all those roles and all those deliverers that will give you the amazing word of God, it won't take root. Care of the Lord will choke it out. Or it'll fall on the path and the birds will take it away. Or it can't get in because again, the rocks, it won't take root there, and the thorns will choke it out. But when we trust God, when we trust God, it will fall into the good soil to produce the 40, 60, 80, 100-fold return. That's what you want. That's that abundance. But accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, letting the world know. Don't be ashamed, because you don't want him ashamed of you. Now, and especially in eternity, don't be ashamed. Let the people know you're following Christ. Let them know. And if they look at you because they know what you did in the past or even what you're doing right now, tell them, you know, as Paul said, the thing I want to do, I do the least. But that's my sin nature. But I'm growing. But my spirit know what to do. And I'm striving to become more spiritually mature. That's what this is about. So accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior into your heart. Let you be created to be a new man, and old things are passed away. But don't forget, if you have any prayer requests, you want to join the team, you want to be a part of this knowledge and wisdom that we're sharing, you can go to Kingdom Builder Development Institute, and you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry. You can go to www.giblify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. God is doing a mighty work, doing a mighty work. So as always, in pardon, hallelujah. You pray for me, I pray for you. Let us watch God move us from being a student to a follower to the leader he called us to be. In Jesus' name. Have an amazing and wonderful week. God has never left us or forsaken us. Just think of Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen. And it's ending, there's high.